Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, I'm Chloe Howe.
You look just like her. How did you perfect that?
How did I perfect the Chloe Howe look? I guess just studying her.
So let's fill in a couple of blanks. Let's see, you were signed at 16. You know, I mean, this is stuff that's already in the lore. But what I'm interested in, and what I think people who are going to hear this, my audience, is interested in, is some things that are between the lines that about you that you really want people early on to know. And then we'll go deeper into all the fun stuff.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. I guess, I mean, I don't know, because I got signed really young, so I'm just like, it's quite new to me. I still don't really know what I'm doing. I'm sort of just winging it and hoping for the best, really. It's sort of my vibe on all of this. I literally, most of the time, am so, like, everything's still really new to me as well, so I'm always, like, really overwhelmed.
But is that who you are as a person, that you really kind of want to wake up every day and say, okay, what's going to happen now?
It makes things a lot more fun when you have no idea what's going on, I've noticed. Like,
kind of like this interview.
Well, no, but even like when I'm here, I literally, it's just been like a blank game for me because I have no idea. I mean, my band, like, they couldn't get their visas, so I've just been hanging out and I've just been going with the flow.
So this whole visa thing, and this is not a political show, but I was talking to another UK artist the other day, and we were talking about this, that we seem to make it very, very hard, particularly for musicians, because you're not the only one who is sans band. Yeah. So you haven't performed here yet.
Actually, they arrived yesterday, so I've done one show, but I was meant to do 6 shows, and now I'm only going to get to do 2.
Genres, comparisons, people trying to categorize your music. So when someone says to you, so you're kind of like dance meets this, but vocal, but pop, but this, but indie.
It's an odd one, because I think that when people hear music, they instantly kind of, to describe it, they need to compare, really. And everyone always compares you to other artists, which can be quite frustrating, I guess, but you kind of prepare yourself for it, because you know that for some reason people can't, there's no way of describing, there hasn't really been, you know, created a way of describing music without mentioning genres or stuff.
So I know something that's kind of interesting. As I was re-listening this morning to the EP, I know that I hear your accent more than I hear a lot of people from where you're from when you sing. And they always say that when people sing, that you don't hear the accent. Tell people a little bit about where you came from.
I came from, like, where I live is kind of like 45 minutes outside of London, so it's sort of suburban, kind of like a little bit of a, it's just like that place where nothing goes on, but everybody kind of...
it's not like the hip East London or the...
It's not in London at all, it's really like... Yeah, you know, it's really suburban, you know, there's a lot of people who've just got trapped there, you know, they've just lived there their whole life, but yeah, nothing really goes on, there's not really a music scene, yeah, it's pretty rubbish.
So without there being a music scene, it got all into your ears the way that it gets into most people's ears, the way it gets into my 13-year-old daughter's ears, which is parents, right?
Yeah, it definitely came from my dad, really. Yeah, he listened to a lot of music.
Killer record collection.
Yeah, he just loves music. He has loads of music, so he kind of rammed it down my throat.
Was it a positive ram?
It was a positive ram. It just he just really wanted me to listen to all his music and make sure I had good music days, I think. I think he was just making sure he didn't ever have to listen to music blasting out from my room that he hated. So he was kind of grooming me to have decent taste, I think.
You're coming right out of the gate and you're making a statement. What are people to think about the messages? No strings. Oh my God, I am so completely appalled.
I think there's a lot of, I think when you speak quite frankly about stuff and honestly about stuff, you can get mistaken for trying to preach or teach people lessons, but I'm really not. I've just always wanted, I don't think there's many people my age properly writing about what goes on at my age. You know, those kind of relationships do happen, like...
You think?
Exactly, and it's...
Really?
Everybody knows it's happening, but most people are kind of a little bit too, you know, afraid.
It's this thing, it's called the internet.
Yeah, but no, but like, yeah, it's weird. So yeah, I thought I just kind of wanted to write songs that were honest about it, really.
You've done kind of okay in the UK, the BBC, the Critics' Choice, the Brits. You've done okay.
I've been working away since I was really young, and I was songwriting, and I guess I just sort of I had a good collection of songs. Or what I thought was a collection of songs. And so I took it to this guy who ran just an indie label near me. And he really liked it.
Are you in the small suburban town?
Yeah. He's, well, sort of near me. And he took it to... helped me find my management. And then they took me to a label and it happened pretty fluidly.
How much did you... Because you were talking about the team. How much did you know... And how did you trust these people? And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but how do you, my gosh, being that young and you're on a label and now you're in the machine, how do you know?
You don't really. It's a very, very big learning curve. I know a lot of people who kind of, you know, got signed for the first time and are now dropped and are now the most skeptical people in the world because you don't, because a lot of the time the people who you think are your best friends on the way up while they're working with you and you're like, oh cool, we're all mates. As soon as you're not, you know, if as soon as you're not signed to their label anymore or something, they're not your friends. And that's, you kind of have to learn a lot. You have to learn a lot and be very aware and like really pick up on people's little games. And I'm still learning who to trust.
and again, continuing, the thing about the UK is you have some interesting things. You have the NME, you have the Guardian, and you have people saying bored teenager.
Yeah.
So you've kind of handled that and said, okay, you know what? No longer, let's move on, kids.
yeah, I guess so. Well, I think I was a bored teenager. I think most of my songs are sort of about like, yeah, that sort of suburban kind of thing. That's definitely where they all come from. So I'm not bored anymore though. I'm kind of, you know, I'm in Austin, man.
What is it about Deborah Harry? Is it the fact that she started out as a punk and became a style icon in addition to everything else? She was just on Project Runway.
I really do like girls who have... I really like badass girls, you know? Like girls who it's like, they look really beautiful, but you know they could beat you in a fight. And I just think she's a really strong woman. Like she was surrounded by so many men and like... You know, when you see a photograph of her amongst, you know, all the people she was working with, you know she ran the place. But there's this whole thing about, like, I mean, even, like, the whole Miley Cyrus thing and, you know, how a lot of pop stars at the minute aren't wearing very many clothes. You can kind of look at it in two ways because I think you can always tell a girl who's not doing it for herself because she wants to look sexy and a girl who, you know, is doing it because she's like, I look really hot and I don't care what you guys think.
And what's Miley doing?
I think there's an element of kind of feeling, I don't think it's a self-esteem thing, is it? I feel like it's kind of she's using it as a platform for attention, which is really odd. That's when it becomes a little bit, you know, not as classy.
And when that happens, does the music will out?
Yeah. No, the music's really great at times, yeah. But I don't like it when people think controversy is more important than the music, you know, and causing a scene is more important than the music. I really just, yeah. That should be first and foremost, but like it was after the VMA thing when everyone was having go at it and all she tweeted was something along the lines of my performance got 300,000 tweets per minute, and it was like that shouldn't be the most important part of last night. It shouldn't be about your total reach.
It's about the music, and the reach, if the music's good, happens automatically, right?
Well, that's what you'd hope, isn't it? You'd hope that, like, it's not all about social media anymore. But I think I grew up in the Facebook era, and it's like I don't know anything other than like watching TV and them telling you to hashtag something. Like it's so ingrained into everything nowadays, and everybody's on board, and everybody, like, doesn't the Pope have a Twitter?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
There you go. Well, you know, if the Pope doesn't, I mean, I wonder how many followers he has. Let's get to the important stuff. And the question is, how many people retweet? No, I'm kidding. So the whole concept of winning people over, it's a quote that you say, you know, that one of the things you have to do is win people over. So in this Facebook, Twitter world, what does it take to win people over, because you're going to play small clubs, but you've also probably already played huge festivals, right?
Yeah, I played the O2 the other day.
So. I know.
So right. It's such a weird, it's always such a weird contrast going from my own shows, which are still pretty small, to supporting someone on a massive tour. But yeah, winning people over, it's I think, like, nowadays, because everything's so instant and you follow people on Twitter and Facebook, things seem to be a lot more personality driven with pop stars, like mainly solo pop stars, like all of the ones who are emerging in the UK that I know, like everybody tries to really get their personality across on social media, so people, like, you know, they're like, she seems really cool though, man.
Pop star, have you really kind of taken a deep breath and said, how am I going to maintain me in all of this? Not that you would turn into a Miley Cyrus, but, you know, have you really kind of just taken that deep breath and said, okay, I'm going to remain pure here, and no matter what darts they throw at me, I know this is business, and I'm just going to make effing great music.
You notice yourself getting harder. I notice myself becoming a lot more of a, like, kind of a hard person, you know what I mean? Like, as in, you know, I don't really take a lot of, you know, rubbish of people anymore, and you do notice yourself change, but as long as you can see your friends that you, like, went to school with when you were 16 and they don't think you're an idiot, and you can still talk to them like it's back then, you know that you're fundamentally still yourself at heart, I guess. But this whole business, you do have to change, because if I went through it still being the 16-year-old that got signed, like, I wouldn't cope, because I was just so, like, I was pretty clueless, and I was, like, kind of happy-go-lucky, maybe.
Do you feel like the golden chalice is conquering the U.S., or do you not care?
I feel like I'm very patriotic, so I would love to do well in the UK, and I haven't really thought about the States, because I find it quite, like, it's kind of like the big one, do you know what I mean? And, like, all the people who are big in the US are massive all around the world, you know? So it's very difficult to put myself, to think of myself as on par with...
And you don't. So do you realize what you've accomplished in the UK? And it's not a pittance by any stretch of anyone's imagination?
I don't know, it's just nice, it's just been nice, but I haven't really had that moment where you step back from it and you're like, oh my god, I've really done okay.
You go out there and perform and you're at the O2 and you look out there and you think, wait a minute, that's a lot of people about to hear me sing.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. That was the only one I felt nervous for on the whole tour, because I just saw Beyonce there like 5 days before, and then I went and performed there, so it was mad.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by a pile of artists in between.